I'm Annette, and I'm the customer service lead here.
Hi, and my name is Anna, and I'm also in customer service.
So, Anna, what is the Christmas tradition that you like the best with your family?
Well, right now, my husband and I are empty nesters, and so each year we are buying each other a very special Christmas ornament for our own tree. And Annette, how about you?
I get together with my mom and my sister, and we bake all kinds of goodies, and some of them will probably show up here at Family Talk.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Merry Christmas!
Today on Family Talk.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, Dr. James Dobson. Today is the 75th anniversary of one of the most shocking attacks on American soil, Pearl Harbor. So many lives changed forever on that day as America finally joined the war raging in Europe. We've heard so many stories of how American and Allied lives were impacted by World War II, but we rarely hear stories from the Japanese point of view. Our guest today is changing that. Martin Bennett has an amazing true story of the Japanese pilot who coordinated the attack and the path God used to eventually bring him to Christ. All the details are in his book called Wounded Tiger, and it truly is a gripping story. I can't wait for you to hear more about it. So let's jump in right now to part two of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Martin Bennett right here on Family Talk.
Martin, having studied so much about Pearl Harbor and about the Japanese and what motivated that attack, does this day have particular significance for you being the 75th anniversary of that horrible day in American history, in fact, world history?
Absolutely. The story of Fuchida is a story of horror and pain and suffering for millions of people who participated in the Pacific War who were victims. But at the same time, there is an amazing story of redemption that pours right through the center of this story. And Fuchida is an extraordinary example of that. And I think that the world needs to know that.
Hmm. Well, let's go back to something that you said. You made reference in yesterday's program to a woman, an American, who came to play a role in Fuchida's life, although I don't believe he ever met her, did he?
He didn't meet her. Her name was Peggy Covell. Her parents traveled to Japan. They're highly educated. They were teachers, and they were missionaries, and they also volunteered to help the poorest of the poor in Japan on a regular basis. Peggy grew up in Japan speaking Japanese, knowing the Japanese people and culture. She ended up being in the United States before the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. So when Japan went to war, she was really distraught because she heard everybody yelling and screaming about how the dirty Japs, but she knew that the Japanese culture, there was a dichotomy. There were some people who were very militaristic, other people were not, but they were all swept in. You had no option other than to, you'd be executed if you didn't participate. So she was quite torn, but she loved the Japanese people. And I can't give away the story here, but her parents were stuck in the Philippines. They couldn't get away.
And also, they were missionaries.
They were missionaries, but they fled to the Philippines because they felt they would be safe because the parents were in Japan and Japan was ramping up for war. They fled to the Philippine Islands where General Douglas MacArthur was. There's 100,000 troops there, planes, you know, all kinds of equipment. And they figured, hey, the Japanese would never attack the Philippine Islands. And if they did, well, MacArthur would drive him back into the sea. That's what they figured. That's what everybody figured. But they were all wrong. So the Japanese took over the Philippine Islands, and then Peggy's parents fled into the mountains. And that's where they hid out during the war.
And MacArthur and his troops were on Corregidor.
They were on Corregidor, and then he escaped, and then there was the Bataan Death March after that. So it was
People don't know this. You know, it's not taught in the public schools to any great degree. They don't even know what World War I and World War II were all about. And I taught school when I was 24 years old. I taught junior high school and in history and science and math And my students had no idea who we even fought in World War II. They thought it was the Russians. So you got to start from scratch here.
Well, when the Japanese go to war, they're not thinking in terms of what do we do with prisoners. They're thinking of killing everybody. So when they end up with thousands of prisoners, they don't have food for them. They're going to give the food to their own soldiers. So they treated the Allied troops horribly, and it was a real nightmare, the men who went through that. I didn't really focus my studies on that, but the missionaries who fled to the Philippine Islands were in a different island altogether. But MacArthur did promise to come back, and that gave hope to people. And I think as a Christian, when God gives us promises, the promise is only as good as the integrity of the person making the promise. So with Douglas MacArthur, when he said, I'm coming back, and another Japanese officer says, well, you know, he's in Australia eating bacon and eggs. He doesn't care. And Fujita says, he didn't say we will come back. He said, I shall return. He put his own name on the line. He said, Fujita said, he is coming back. I'm going to tell you right now, he's coming back because he put his name on it. I think that's a beautiful thing. We think of God's promises are backed by his own integrity and character.
How did that change Fujita's attitude or his approach to the war?
He was frightened because he knew that if they didn't negotiate and get a settlement, they would be destroyed by the Allied forces. So one thing very few people understand is we look at the Japanese fighting the Americans and somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. That's how battles are fought. That's not the Japanese intention at all. What the Japanese saw in Europe prior to Pearl Harbor was Hitler walks through Europe, he conquers whatever he wants. The United States says it's not our problem. We're not dealing with that. We're not sending our soldiers over there. So the Japanese believed that they could sweep into Southeast Asia and the Pacific, and the United States would not fool with the Japanese. But to ensure that the Americans did not intervene with the Japanese, they disarmed them by sinking the Pacific Fleet. They just figured, hey, we'll sink your ship so you can't attack us. Then we'll call a truce, and we won't attack you, and you don't attack us, and we'll just have a truce. That's what they were hoping to do, terms that would be negotiated to just end hostilities. Well, the immediate American response was unconditional surrender. And the Japanese kind of blinked, thinking, wait a second, we don't surrender. We want to negotiate. And there's no negotiating with somebody who demands unconditional surrender. Well, this threw a wrench in the works for the Japanese military. So they said, we need to sink their aircraft carriers. If we can sink the aircraft carriers, then the whole West Coast will be wide open to the Japanese. And we can threaten things we're not going to actually do and say, listen, let's go ahead and negotiate with terms that are favorable to Japan, i.e. Japan gets to keep everything they've taken.
Well, they didn't understand the American mindset.
No, but yeah, even when the emperor said, I want to surrender, his military leaders were saying, no, let's fight to the last man.
Even when the atomic bombs fell, they still did not want to surrender.
Right, they didn't. But ultimately they did. And the funny thing is, then the Japanese people embraced the Americans, and we actually became friends, and we are to this day allied nations.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the woman now.
Yes. The Covell family, she went out of her way to commit an act of loving her enemies when all circumstances would say you should do the exact opposite. So, Jim, you know better than I do that the word love is used millions of times a day. It's in print everywhere, and it doesn't really mean much of anything. But genuine love, it's very costly. Personally, it's rare, and it's very powerful. And when you see it in action, there's no denying the power of an act of love. And this is what happened with Peggy Covell. Something happened to her that was extraordinarily traumatic. And she asked herself, essentially, what is the best possible thing I could do? And she committed herself to do that very thing, not thinking it would have any impact on anybody. She just did it randomly. she ended up having a direct impact on the man who led the attack on Pearl Harbor, and she was 10,000 miles from him. The chances are 1 in 10 million that something like this would happen. When Fuchida heard about this, he could not stop thinking about her, asking, why did she do this?
Can you tell us enough so we get a feel for what it was that
I can't. No, I can't.
Okay, come on,
but you can read. You can read the chapters for free at woundedtiger.com. You can get the book and find out for yourself, and I promise you will not be disappointed by this story.
Well, you've already said that they never met.
They never met.
So there was no romantic connection.
Nope. But it was love, though, I'll tell you that. Amazing love. And that's what changes people's lives. And that's what changed Fuchida's
life. Can you tell us how he found out about it?
Yeah, I'll tell you how he found out. So in the Battle of Midway, Fuchida had an engineer named Kanagasaki. He knew him quite well. Kanagasaki, they believe, went down with the ship in the Battle of Midway. There was no report of what happened to him. But he became a prisoner of war, was taken to San Diego. Then he ended up in a military hospital in Utah. But in Japan, it's shameful to be captured by your enemy. So Kanagasaki gave a false name to the Red Cross. So when these names came back to the Japanese military, this man was not
his
a survivor.
His real name wasn't on him.
So after the war, Fuchida met Kanagasaki, and he said, have we thought you were dead? And he said, no, I gave a wrong name. He said, well, what happened to you? He said, well, I was a prisoner of war. He said, well, did they treat you badly? Did they torture you? And he said, no, they didn't. And Fuchida was really disappointed. He expected that the Americans would torture and treat their prisoners cruelly as the Japanese treated the Americans. Yeah. He was very surprised by that. But then Kanagasaki says, I need to tell you about this girl. She was an American girl, but she spoke Japanese, and she was very loving to us. And we had to ask her, why are you so loving to us? And she gives the answer.
Guess what?
I can't tell you what she said.
But she was a Christian.
She was a Christian, but she wasn't a Christian in words. She was a Christian in deeds.
She was the daughter of missionaries.
She was the daughter of missionaries who devoted their lives to serving the Japanese people. And she loved the Japanese people with all her heart. But she was pained to all of her heart by the things the Japanese were doing.
Can you tell us enough to let us know why what she did had an impact on Fuchida?
In Japanese culture, if somebody does something wrong to you, it's not just an impulse to want revenge. It's considered a duty, a responsibility to avenge the honor of your family, to pay somebody back evil for evil. And so if it takes you weeks, months, or years, you plot on how to seek revenge against your enemies. And in Peggy Covell's case, she had a reason to want revenge, but instead of revenge, she paid back good, outstanding good. And Fuchida thought, what in the world would you treat your enemies with goodness? Why would you do that? And part of him thought she was crazy, but he said later, in his own words, he felt ashamed because he knew what she did was right. But the next question he had is, where does this love come from? If you love people, where does it come from?
Well, I can see where you're going with this, because Fuchida got a copy of the Bible. He received the Bible itself. And that brings us to where these Bibles came from, because General MacArthur, after he became the Supreme Allied Commander, had these Bibles imported.
Right. So what happened after the war, there was a missions organization called the Pocket Testament League, and they approached General Douglas MacArthur and said, we would like to bring 1 million Bibles into Japan to help this nation restart with a better foundation. And Douglas MacArthur said, I don't want 1 million Bibles. I want 10 million Bibles. And they ultimately brought in 11 million Bibles. And in the story of Wounded Tiger in my book, you'll see this, how it happens and what, where, when, why, and how. Fuchida had come across Peggy Covell's story. He'd also come across the story of a guy named Jake DeShazer, who's another key person in this story. And both of them had the Bible as a part of their life and trusting in God. Fuchida was not particularly religious. He was just curious. Why would a person love their enemies? So he was in Tokyo at a train station, Shibuya, next to a very famous bronze statue of an Akita dog called the Hachiko statue. And next to the statue, a person was selling Bibles. Fujita had never read a Bible before. This was just the New Testament. He purchased one of these books, and when he read it, he had never heard the story of Christ ever. I mean, I can't even imagine reading the gospel, having no idea what's going to happen next. And when he read it, there was a question he had about Peggy Covell and her father in particular. He had a very specific question that nobody could answer for him. And so when he was reading this Bible, something supernatural happened. Suddenly, he had the answer he was looking for. That was the beginning of the lights coming on for Fujita.
And he became a Christian.
He did become a believer. And it was a slow walk from the darkness into the light.
That almost never happened in Japan, did it?
It was rare, and especially for somebody who was so involved in the military. And after the war, he publicly denounced all the atrocities and the aggression, and he wished he had never participated in the Pearl Harbor attack. So when we celebrate the 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, I think it's very important to recognize that the man who led the attack totally repented of being a participant, and after the war, he actually spent the rest of his life telling people about the power of God and forgiveness and the love of Jesus Christ.
Did he ever come to America?
Many times, and he spoke with Billy Graham publicly.
Really? Tell me more about that.
Well, he toured, and he spoke. There's video or film of him preaching with Billy Graham. You can look up on YouTube. You'll see Mitsuo Fujita on the Merv Griffin Show giving his testimony. Look up Merv Griffin and Fujita. You'll see it.
That's an unlikely source, by
the
way.
It is, but you'll see it. And, of course, you can read the story, Wounded Tiger. You can read sample chapters, woundedtiger.com.
Man, would I have liked to have interviewed him.
Oh, so would I.
I'll bet you would.
His daughter's still alive, though.
And you talked to her.
I have spoken to her, and she reviewed the book, and she gave me her highest endorsement of her story. She said, I could sense my father's spirit when I read this story. And I was pretty shocked by that.
Does she live in America?
She lives in Berkeley. She's an American citizen. That's the crazy thing about this story. Here you have the guy who led the attack on Pearl Harbor. Both his children became American citizens. Nobody's heard this story before. It's a tremendous story. And I've not heard a single person read the book and not have some positive reaction.
How did you dig that out?
Well, I stumbled across it as a used book many years ago. And as I started researching it, I have a background in screenwriting. I recognized that this could be a tremendous feature film. The more I researched it, Jim, the better it got. And true stories, you don't have the freedom to just make it up. It is what it is. But when you find out and you see these things happen, you think, what are the odds of something like this happening? You just shake your head. This is unbelievable.
Now, we've got about 7 or 8 minutes left. Let's go to the third character in this three-part story.
Yeah.
He was part of the Doolittle Raid, which occurred in 1942, which was the first time that America fought back against the Japanese homeland. We can't get into all that, but this man that became part of your story was a co-pilot taking off from an aircraft carrier, I think it was the Hornet, as I recall. I'm pulling stuff out of my memory now.
Okay, so the story of Wounded Tiger has three stories. One is Fujita, the man who led the attack in Pearl Harbor. One is the Covell family, who were missionaries in Japan who fled to the Philippines. And the third very significant character is a guy named Jake DeShazer. He grew up in Oregon. He volunteered for the Army Air Corps. He also volunteered to be on the Doolittle Raid. He was a bombardier, so he actually was in the nose of the plane.
No, I thought he was co-pilot.
No, he was in the nose of the plane, and he's the guy who actually dropped the incendiaries on Nagoya. That was the city that they were assigned to attack. But what happened was, after their bombing raid, he ended up bailing out over occupied China because their plane was running out of fuel. He ended up becoming a prisoner of war, and it was a horrible, horrible experience of torture and deprivation and solitary confinement for 40 months. He almost died on several occasions.
But so he's a prisoner of the Japanese?
He was a prisoner of the Japanese, and he said in his own words he was crazy with hatred toward the Japanese for Pearl Harbor and for how they treated him and how they treated the other prisoners. He was just seething with hatred toward the Japanese. But it was in that he remembered his mother, who was a praying woman who loved God. And at that point, he started thinking to himself, there's got to be something more to life than hating people. And he asked one of the guards if they could get him a Bible. So he started reading the Bible, and he was very skeptical about this. He thought, come on, how could people predict the future? And does God talk to people? He was very skeptical. But what happened was he said, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. And then things started to happen that were rather supernatural in his life. And eventually, he did survive the war, and he wrote his story out. Fuchida, because he was an airman, he respected the Doolittle Raiders, even though they were Americans, because they were gutsy to take that chance to go in. So when he heard that DeShazer had his story, he wanted to read it for himself. And when DeShazer talked about the Bible, Fuchida thought, I got to find out what this Bible is. He was not interested in becoming a Christian. He just was curious of, like, why would somebody love other people? That's what really got him. And he also wanted to know, how can we stop having wars? What do we need to do? What needs to change? And he got his answers, and you'll see that in Wounded Tiger.
There's so much to this story, Martin, that we just are going to have to refer people to the book, and I strongly recommend that they get it. Let's start with the title itself, Wounded Tiger. Who was wounded? Who was the tiger?
Yeah, so Wounded Tiger is a reference to Mitsuo Fuchida himself, of course. He was born in the year of the tiger, but it also references the nation of Japan. And a wounded tiger is an animal that has great power and great beauty, but its injury prevents it from achieving its potential. So in a sense, all of us are wounded tigers. We're born and we're created with potential for power and beauty, but we are wounded by the choices of other people. We're wounded by our own choices, and those things prevent us from achieving the potential that we have. And if you are not healed in one way or another, you'll never achieve it. And so you'll see this healing take place in Fuchida's life. You'll see it take place in the lives of multiple other people that it seems like it's not possible that this could ever happen, and yet it does. So my encouragement to you is you have great potential for beauty and power and success, but there has to have something has to heal, and that comes through the power of God.
It has to be the power of God. Here was a man who was a warrior right at the center of world activities, Pearl Harbor, and was on the scene and went through the whole war and survived and went on to become a Christian. Yeah, I mean, that can't happen. You made it up.
It's crazy. Like I said, if this were a fictional story, people would say it's too far out to be real, but it is real.
When did this book come out?
The first edition was released in 2014, but the second edition, which includes over 250 historic photographs and images, many before not seen, and 10,000 new words, that's officially released December 6th.
That's yesterday. So the second edition is available.
It's available at woundedtiger.com, Amazon, and many bookstores as well.
I congratulate you on the research and the effort that's gone into this, especially because it has such an uplifting story to it. How could death and destruction at Pearl Harbor end on a note like this? That also is the blessing of the Lord, isn't it?
It is. What I tell people is this story is not what you think it is. It's not what you expect. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction.
We've been telling the story of Wounded Tiger. The subtitle says, the pilot who led the attack on Pearl Harbor, whose life was changed by an American prisoner and by a girl he never met. And it's written by T. Martin Bennett. What is T?
T is my first name, Tracy Martin Bennett. So I stopped using it when I started in eighth grade. But it actually worked well, because if you look up T. Martin Bennett on a search online, all the hits are T. Martin Bennett. Martin Bennett, that's too generic. T. Martin Bennett sets it apart. So that's kind of my author name, T. Martin Bennett.
I hope you sell a million copies.
I hope we make the film soon, because this is a powerful story, and there's not one person who would not be encouraged by the story.
And what you need is money.
We do.
God be with you, my brother.
Thanks so much, Jim.
You have been listening to a special Family Talk broadcast today in honor of the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Today, we chose to tell the story of a Japanese pilot the one who's most responsible for the brutal attack that day, because it ultimately is a beautiful story of God's sovereignty. Fuchida's transformation was divinely orchestrated, and if you want to learn more about his journey to faith, I urge you to pick up the book Wounded Tiger, which is available at woundedtigerbook.com, and we also have a link up at drjamesdobson.org as well. You know, this amazing true story reminds us that we never know what part God may have us play in someone else's redemption story. You can help us create the resources that could lead someone to Christ or strengthen parents as they raise the next generation of faithful believers. Your donations do so much, and right now they can do even more. Every dollar you send will be doubled thanks to a matching grant, so please be as generous as you can. You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org. Our website is absolutely secure. Or you can call us at 877-732-6825 to be part of our support team. So whether you call or click, thank you so much for your gift, your faithful donation that's doubled here during this special time of year. Thanks so much for joining us in that effort. And be sure to come back again next time when we get back to our 2016 Best of the Best broadcast series. We'll see you then right here on Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors. Family Talk is a listener-supported program. I encourage you to give if you can. You can find us at drjamesdobson.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love for you to be a part of our family.